This is CliffCentral.com.
I have been told that it is Friday today, and okay, that needs to be off. Right, cool. Is that the right one? No, I've connected the wrong aux cable. Look, this is the perfect start to a Friday morning show. It is Friday. It is the 6th of the month after the month of May. And wait, yes, I need to turn that mic on as well. That's mic 5. Yes, say something. No, that's wrong mic. Wait. It'll help if you turn up the volume.
Am I there? Oh, the silky sweet sounds, Ryan.
That is Ryan James Holiday, ladies and gentlemen. What we have done is we have eaten Dave Levinson. We ate him. He's dead now.
He was tough, actually, as like you'd expect.
He was like underdone.
He was sinewy.
So it is Friday morning. It is 5 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. I am Eric Janssen, and I need to ask Ryan James Holiday, what time does this thing start?
Just now.
Just now.
Okay, yeah.
Just now.
Hi, Eric.
I'm well, thanks. How are you, Uncle David?
Can I make some background tunes? You know what I've got? A guest.
Sorry, I got you, baby.
You got some reggae on there.
It's not reggae. It's funk. Get right.
Oh, damn.
Whatever you do now.
No. Welcome. This is live. This is going out. What is this? What is the nature of this show?
Oh, it's all about the lols, really.
All about the LOLs.
It's all about the lols, David.
So, then why are you...
Balance. Balance.
So, yeah, I thought about that the other day. Like, what are you doing here, Eric? What is your job on the show?
My job...
I just thought about... Let's go through... You know when they have change in companies?
Yes.
I wanted to say, like, we all have to apply for our jobs again.
Okay.
Take that man off.
Okay, he's...
What is the nature of your... What do you do on the show?
My nature in this job is to make sure that the show happens and stuff. No, I'm joking.
Where the fuck were you last week?
I bring...
Now it starts.
Wait, listen. I bring the youthful exuberance to the show. I make sure young people listen, and I also bring a weird and uninformed. No, is uninformed the word? Let's go with uninformed.
What do you want? An uninformed opinion?
Yes, because he brings a bewilderment.
So you're a Trump supporter.
So every time you say something to Eric, he'll go, huh?
Yeah, I'm
that's
just
what
like,
you bring to the show.
Your position in government is always assured.
Yes,
then.
This is why I'm in the driver's seat today. I have a learner's license, and this
right, because I just thought about that the other day. Like, I listened to other podcasts, and they were so intelligent, and they told me things, and I left knowing something.
Yeah, but there's only so much hardcore history you can listen on a podcast before you go, no, I just need to laugh now.
No, and then I thought maybe that's what it is. We are just the frivolous nothingness. We like those little chips you get when you get a thing from Amazon. That you mustn't eat.
The silica chips. Yeah, it says do not eat this.
No. Who eats that though? Who gets it? Who orders a radio and has done this intelligent enough to fill in a form and send to PayPal, because that's hard work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then gets the electronic equipment, like a thing, and then says, I'm also hungry. I will not eat the polystyrene.
I've ordered a bunch of stuff from eBay, and it's never come with that stuff. But then again, it requires it to actually arrive first.
Oh, there you go.
There's the joke.
So someone got your stuff.
And well, that's the thing. It's just, it's coming via the South African Postal Services. I don't know what someone in the Postal Service needs with Resident Evil movie props.
I don't know if you...
Why are you buying Resident Evil movie props?
Just in case the apocalypse happens.
I was going to say,
but they're just props. They're going to break when the apocalypse happens.
No, they're not. They're just ID tags and stuff, you know, biohazard attack unit and shit like that. Yeah, I like to be able to have something that gives me access to the nice buffet.
I don't know if you've seen that ad on Instagram for, I think it's a Tumblecat rig. It's a rig for your cell phone that makes it look like a camera, and then it's got like a microphone.
Oh yes, yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
I bought it 2 months ago. I'm still waiting.
Oh good lord.
I just want to put it out there.
Apparently the only way you can wait longer is if you order from Wish. Because there's people who get their stuff like a year later. It arrives, but I mean, it's being brought on the back of a wounded pigeon via the North Pole.
This is quite interesting. I didn't know that. We can talk about that, like different ways of ordering stuff. But Ryan,
yeah, if you want stuff to actually arrive.
What's your nature of your business on this show? What do you bring?
Well, Dave, I'd say I'm the newest to comedy here.
Okay.
And I'm here to get abused by you two about never having shows. So,
no, dude, if you want to get abused by the comedy industry, there's so many places you can go.
I know, but this is my place to let that happen.
But we don't abuse you all the time, do we?
No.
Okay. So what? Really, why are you here? I want you to apply for your job.
That's the abuse right now. Why are you here?
Why are you here?
Who sent you?
Put the belt down. Put the belt down. Ask him again.
Because you've got to bring something, I feel.
Yeah.
And I also had to re-question, reposition, reanimate everything that I had a comedy meltdown about a week ago.
What do you mean a comedy meltdown? What did you do?
I just got like a dis,
Disillusioned?
Disillusioned.
There's the word.
You know what happened? It came about when someone was talking about Bill Cosby and we were talking about Me Too and we were talking about all these things. And then I realized I was 7 or 8 years old when I listened to my first Bill Cosby record.
Yeah.
And I sat in the lounge like, what the fuck is this? And it was like this message came to me and said, you can do this. You can stand on a stage and be funny, when I was that young.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so everything from then comes down to this fuck up now. You're like, oh, man.
Well, no, not really, because the message was, you can do this, you can be funny. Not, you can do this, you can be Captain Rapey Pants.
No. Is that a superhero?
I don't know.
In Wakanda?
Is this an appropriate time to test my Morgan Freeman joke?
Yes.
Dave, it's an open forum. Dave was wearing an all-white suit yesterday, so I'm like, yeah, Dave is replacing Morgan Freeman as God. But I didn't understand why we have to replace God, because isn't God supposed to touch people?
Oh, yo. That's good.
Yeah. That's deep, I was about to say, Dave showed up in all white. My mom's comment would have been, well, what is the matter? Is he Jehovah's Witness?
Do they wear white?
My mom, I don't know where she came up with this. She was watching some of the TV show. We were sitting in the lounge, and there's a character appears. You remember Quantum Leap? That's Scott Bakula in it. Yes. At one point, one of his characters is wearing this all white suit with a gold necklace, and she goes, what is it supposed to be? Jehovah's Witness? I've never seen a Jehovah's Witness wear all white with a gold chain.
She just invented several, that.
Right, yeah.
Please tell people who this voice is from the Parker's fame.
Goliath, wherever else you're willing to employ me.
Put me anywhere. Put a stage in a spotlight and I'll tell them jokes.
Put me in, coach.
Put me in. I'm ready, coach. I've got the equipment.
But no, we were talking about Victoria the other night. You weren't there.
It was me. There's a
shocker.
We were talking about you, not to you.
Yes.
And someone said, like, is Vittorio doing comedy still? And I said, no, he's definitely still doing comedy. In fact, he's gone into more of a deeper thing than a lot of comedians don't realize that we can do, is going into writing full time. Would you say yours is 60-40 now?
Yeah, I mean, it's not by choice. I mean, I try to do as much stand-up as I can, but when there's not that many gigs, then, yeah, I'm just happy that there's writing work that came along.
How did you end up in the writing business?
It was kind of by accident. In 2009, Darren Wall had a TV show called Last Say on Sunday that was on SABC3. It was essentially the forerunner of Late Night News with Luis Ogola. It's at least that's where ETV got the idea from. And so we were doing the show. We did 26 episodes, of which I think 4 of them ended up in front of the BCCSA, and one of them nearly got us banned altogether because we were doing material about the president, and we had a commissioning editor that didn't do a damn thing for 13 episodes. And then we did an episode where at the end of it, we took, whereas John Savage, I think his name is, he wrote a song taking all the stuff off the news that was currently being said about Costa Semenya.
Yeah.
And then the show was shot on the Friday. It airs on the Sunday. By the time it aired on the Sunday, Costa Semenya had become this near religious figure importance.
Oh, shit.
And everybody crapped on everyone. Put it this way. An SABC executive's wife, apparently, was channel hopping between us and the Bourne Identity. In the 15 seconds in the ad break where she saw our show, she happened to catch a piece of the song. Oh. That was enough for her to complain to her man, and as shit does, it flows downwards. And so there were knocks on doors, and the eventual end of it was as shit does, it always flows down. That's the same way the chain of command always, it's you gripe downwards, you gripe upwards. Yeah. You can only gripe to people above you. So we got this knock on our door, and they said, they gave us this draconian list of stuff that we weren't allowed to do anymore.
Which channel was this? This was
SABC3. But in general, the SABC, I mean, we were told, now we're a local political satire show. We weren't allowed to make fun of Parliament, any department of government, the president, the president's wives, anyone who is Zulu. And this list got on and on and on.
Remember in Adrian Kronauer in Good Morning Vietnam, when that young guy comes, well, you can't say that, you can't say this. And then he just locked himself in the studio
and
or something.
Said, yeah, and he what just can went you do? Off. Well, yeah, my comment was...
Was this kind of the height of Zuma times?
It was just at the start of it. It's before he went full-blown retard.
Never go full retard.
Apologies for the use of the word, but I think it's I don't want to cast disparaging on mentally handicapped people.
Spelling.
Yes.
He's tying it all
so
in.
So then, hang on. So I would say that was a learning curve for you.
Oh, no, it was a massive learning curve.
You,
I learned
you know
then
writing
that
how you can write and still manage to write with that long list.
No, look, I mean, that's the thing. I've been writing for Real Gobosa for about 7 years. And
that's
in that
so
time...
That's old.
Yeah, well, I came in on season 3. We're now on season 13. And I think me and the other writer, Ngobo, the two of us have been on the show before. Yeah, the two of us have pretty much outlasted most of the hosts that have been on Real Gobosa. we're one of the few fixtures that have stayed the same.
Do you, awesome. When the new host arrives, you guys do you have that old boys kind of vibe? You know,
well, no, our first question is, can they deliver comedy? Or do we have to explain the jokes to them?
Oy.
And then, yeah, it's two comics. It's that. And we're very, very lucky. The Samora Mangesu is now the new co-host on the show. He's doing very well. And Sanazo's always done a good job.
What
so
do you
we're very lucky.
To be doing very well? What's a good host?
In that they both have a vibe. They deliver the material. They make it their own. And they deliver the material beautifully, and it's nice. It's cool to have a show that actually has this like a vibe to it. I mean,
so that I didn't realize that 13,
it's a lot 13 of seasons.
13 seasons of Real Gobozo,
and it's on which channel?
SABC 1 on Saturday nights at 7:30, I believe it is.
See, that's it's a weird time. It's either I'm just started getting drunk, or I'm coming home. And going out to get drunk.
Well, if you're jumping through the channels and you happen to end up on DSTV instead, just go to, what is it, Mojo Love? I think it's, I don't know what channel number it is. That's the other show I'm working on. This
what's it called?
Highly Inappropriate with Fat Joe.
Mojo Love.
Yeah, Moja Love.
Moja.
Yeah.
That's nice.
M-O-J-A, because that's
a word.
So, hang
on, explain the day in your life, because I know you as a comedian. I've slept with you.
Yes, you have.
We've traveled.
That's not even a joke, he has.
I also know your comedy to be quite... technical, is that a right term? I find that you go on stage and you build a very elaborate Meccano set.
Yes.
And then you throw the screwdriver away halfway.
Yeah.
And then expect the audience to just go, look what I made you. And
yeah. There are times when I'm on stage where it reminds me of a comic, he's dead now, unfortunately, a guy called Barry Crimmins. He's a very, very good political commentator in the U.S. And he apparently would go on stage. He wasn't afraid to die, and he would go on stage talking about political stuff. He's the guy who said, I complain a lot about America, and people say, well, if you don't like America, why don't you leave? He said, because I don't want to be a victim of their foreign policy. And so he was on stage, and he would do this stuff. And Mark, I think it's Mark Maron, said he was watching him, and there's just getting nothing for 5 minutes, just dying. And he stops in his set, and he goes, okay. There are three branches of government, right? And he would just do a civics lesson. I was like, that's beautiful. I mean, it's like watching Bill Hicks. Everybody admires them, but to freaking die like that on stage, night after night, doing hardcore stuff. I mean, I don't liken myself to them, but it's a hell of a legacy to live up to.
Also, it's as strong as a comedian to know that you're good enough at the clubs to do to do those deaths, because you're really working on something bigger.
Yeah.
But often I see young comics and they go there and they're just dying, and you want to explain to them, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
And then they're saying, I'm doing this and this. And say, no, that's not what it's coming across as.
Yeah.
Because the smartness would be there. But just to go out and die for the sake of it.
There's a bunch of young comics that I still need to take aside. You'd think this conversation is done with Me Too and all of the other movements in place. You'd think you don't have to say to them,
working.
Listen, you are aware you're male, right?
Offensive.
So you can't open... carry on through or end your set with rape jokes. You are not that talented, okay?
No. To do all. It with subtlety, or to do it with maybe a little bit of irony,
or just a little bit
of wokeness. If you're
pointing
something out, you've got to be so smart to get that. Yeah. That's why satire, and that's what you essentially write as well for Gobozo and for Love John.
For Fat Joe, yeah.
Is that his name of the show?
The show is called Highly Inappropriate with Fat Joe.
Really?
Yeah. And it's good fun. I think we're on episode 5 now.
Okay.
And
The reason why Vittorio's on this morning's show is because he actually listens to the podcast.
Yes.
So what we want from you is, this is why I said, like, what do we do? What do you do, Ryan? And I had to also look at what I do.
A very heavy question for me, David. You know, it was very on the spot. The aircon's off. It was a
care.
Lot.
Got,
this is hard hitting.
Go, Liverpool. No, that's not in the
right that's, spot. Yeah, I was about to say. That's.
Can I just put a bet on Nigeria winning the World Cup? Just
cool.
A full Wakanda bet.
As long as they're in the World Cup, you can put a bet on it.
No, they are.
On a side note, Michelle says morning.
Morning, Michelle.
Hey, Michelle.
Oh, wait. This is another reason why Victoria's on. He said the WhatsApp wasn't working. And then I thought it was working, but I didn't recognize your...
Yeah, I was...
Because you had a lot of points you wanted to make.
Well, yeah, it was a whole bunch of stuff from last week where it's weird. It became a lot like Twitter, that thing of, oh, nobody can see me, so I can heckle and get away with it. No. No. It's your photograph.
There was another comedy stumbling block that I had. I read Twitter and I thought, like, everything's been said. There's someone on Twitter that says it better than I do.
It's because
they've had
because what we do is live. You can prepare your set, and what happens in front of a live audience is a different story. Twitter, they can have a whole team of writers to come up with one freaking tweet.
Or have 20 writes and then just put them on, and one goes out every hour or something.
Yeah. We have to do it live.
No. I did a cull of followers, of people that I follow. I just said, not funny, not cool. If you're trying to be cool, I will follow you, but then you must be cool. If you're trying to be funny, you must be funny. If you want to have, I like information.
Don't try, just be.
No, but if the information guy starts being funny, it throws me off.
Yeah. As Master Yoda said, do or do not, there is no try.
There is no try. That's what that ref said as
which
well.
Which would explain South Africa's the Springbok rugby
team. So, Ryan, I want you to, you must write a 12-page essay on why I'm on the podcast.
Okay.
Not 12 pages.
Why am I on the podcast?
I'll just use very big font.
I was going to say this.
Because what I like about Vic is that he doesn't crit the show because he understands the-ness of it. It doesn't need to be on anywhere. It just goes out into the internet. But we have to be here because we've actually, and I looked at our guests we had. We've had some incredible guests. These guys have gone on to either win awards or do incredible things. The roast battle, those guys that were on the roast battle last week have all been on the show.
Yeah.
And have given.
How did that end up, by the way?
We're not allowed to tell you. Are we allowed to tell you that
what, roast battle?
We're not allowed to say. Must be secret.
Now we're not allowed to tell you. We're not allowed to tell you, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
But you know how it started off weird, and it's exactly how it should be. The first episode was just odd. There were like people trying to do things. Then the next one got better. And it got better as it went, which is how it should be.
So, it's a lot like the comedy competitions that I've had the luck of emceeing because I sure as hell can't compete in those anymore. I don't have the energy or the rage control.
I don't have the 5 minutes.
The competition.
Yeah, when Parker's every year runs that 5 minute competition. And
Kamikaze.
And it was weird. It used to happen over like 8 weeks or something, or 12 weeks, now and then they whittle like it down. Now it was 3 weeks, with the fourth week being the final. So people show up, there's like 15 guys on a night, and it whittles it down. And by the time you get to the final four, it's obvious who's won. Like some of the guys are good, but that night they weren't good enough to win.
But then at least they got that stage. They start getting booked as middle acts or as.
Because look, I mean, when we go backstage to decide, like based with audience and the rest of it, when we figure out who won and whatnot, the question is: okay, there's these four or five left. Would we book these people? Yes. Which one do you think won? Based on
on that last night, you go on the overall as well.
Well, it's 1/3 of it is audience reaction, and the rest is decided by the judges.
So you, as a host, you get to be.
I get to put in some input, but the final say belongs to the judges, and the judges are always kept anonymous because it's always turned a bit passive aggressive when people know who the judges are. Ask Chris Forrest about that. Apparently, he had a bit of a rough one with.
I've been asked to judge a comedy competition. I just said I don't believe comedy should be in a competition format. And they were like, "But you're a comedian."
In 2004, Dave and I competed in Comedy All Stars in Cape Town.
Yeah, and it was weird because Cape Town audiences had already known how to do this, and then you came from Joburg and had your first three sets that you did. You had to change them completely.
Yeah, it was three different sets each time.
But no, you had to change your jokes completely. Cape Town guys didn't know what the fuck you were talking about.
Koki Falco used to have that line about Joburg comics. He goes, you know, you Joburg comics are so aggressive. And it's true because it takes the first night or two for you to get into the Cape Town mindset of, okay, don't attack them.
I came from Cape Town to Joburg one night and I was heckled by someone and it was Martin Jonas's girlfriend. That's how tough Joe Bogan is. You get heckled by the comedian's chick.
Shit.
Yeah, but my favorite now, and I've seen this with some of the young comics, is that they'll come through, they'll do a blazing 5 minutes, but they're there with all their mates. Afterwards, they'll sit down in the club, and I'm either trying to warm up the audience or the next act is on. They're sitting on a table having a fat freaking chat. And I'm going, dude, you are by the minute limiting your chances of ever getting booked
for a young comic to come there, and then he goes on stage, does his set, and then sits and chats to his friends. You're like, hey, that's not like her.
My favorite is when they do a spot and then they leave. It's like, oh, okay, so you're gonna learn nothing.
I tried to explain to someone last night. They were like,
so Eric Jansen in general.
Like, no. But if you finish at Parker's and you stand by the bar, but three or four people come and talk to you at the bar, and you try and say to them, no, the other guys are on. Like, give me that's what I would do, but a lot of guys don't. They're like, hey, I've got fans.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. My favorite is when they assume what you say on stage is real, and that it is
especially with you because you say some weird shit.
Oh no, I say outlandish
stuff. I've been lectured before after a show.
Lectured?
Yeah.
dude,
like you've set a concept and then you've got it wrong. It's the setup.
It was also in the sense of you should, as a colored guy, you shouldn't be talking about these things because you don't know. Like, you're young, so you shouldn't be telling people.
Oh my god!
Jeez, that happened with Skulk one night at Parker. Skulk was 8 years on, and Skulk has gotten into the habit, I think, of just leaving after the show.
Yeah,
because there's always some random Afrikaans dude who wants to come up and read him the riot act about how apartheid really was. He says, no, dude, we've seen the documentary. We know.
And also, you're doing it in a frivolous, jerky manner that you're trying to make the point by saying the big thing and then you slip in the punchline at the end.
Yeah.
So you're not really a student of the arts of whatever it is you're talking about. Like, I know nothing about politics. Things. I'm just making a reference to what it's a little surface.
Like cherry picking.
Some comedian said, if you ask me two questions about my stuff, I think it was, I can't remember the guy, man, American, quite a hardcore comic. He said, if you ask me two questions about my comedy, I'll fold. I really don't know that enough about it.
Well, it's that thing, if it's a magic trick, you don't want to analyze it too much, it'll fall apart.
Yeah, he had a joke about a kiwi fruit last night. That joke was hilarious. Ah, man, that joke was funny.
Please share with the class.
So it's like, you know, when you get to the shops, and by shops, I mean the robots, they're always trying to sell you stuff you've already got in your car, like an aux cable charger. But like, somebody should just surprise me and pull out something I haven't had before. Like, I should pull up to a robot and a dude should pull out, like, a peeled kiwi fruit. I'll be like, yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, sure,
I'll take it.
I can't do that at home.
That would be ingenious marketing.
I hate peeling kiwi fruit because I've worked out you either got to slice, because as you slice into the skin, you're into the kiwi fruit. It's too close.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You use a spoon.
But I've tried that.
No, but that's,
you know what I did?
With, if it's,
you
too
know what
ripe,
I did?
You're going to struggle.
Torio, I took a razor blade. I shaved the pubes off the pubes.
Holy crap.
And I just ate it.
Shaved the pubes.
I went
and
like
it,
an apple.
But I ate it like this. And then as the peel came around, I just kept moving it around to the back of my mouth.
That's
then I spat
cool.
the peel out. And I was like, I ate that fucking cube. Properly out of it.
I wonder if they ever say that during porn. It's just, I ate that.
Properly.
Properly. Just ask her when she remembers how to speak again.
But no, I think that's how you eat a kiwi fruit. You shave it.
Yeah, I think they always tell you, oh no, most of the nutrients are in the skin. Yeah. So,
well, maybe, look at me, I'm healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, and mangoes as well. I'm sick of peeling mangoes.
Mangoes are a pain.
I've now seen how people do it. They cut it like in four pieces, and then you cut like a lattice-y square thing. But it just looks weird.
But that's weird. I mean, life
like a
hack. We have things like Life Hack to thank for that, because no one used to do that before. Now you see people turning bananas upside down and going, "No, this is how we're actually supposed to do it."
I hate this clickbait because I don't want to click it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, you've been eating bananas
wrong
your whole life. You're like, fuck, I'm clicking on this.
But then I go, I don't eat bananas.
Then you're like, fuck, was it supposed to eat the peel? I'm confused.
I like it when they know where you live. They're like, a man in Bedford View changed his life by doing this. I'm like, really?
Really?
I'm a man.
That's two out of three.
But have you seen it's American life. Advertising at late at night when I was out there briefly for like a week, for 2 weeks. Their advertising is like that late at night. It says, are you a human being between 18 and 65?
Like, and then you're like, oh, yeah, me. And you, it's
do
you.
Do you go to bed and wake up in the morning? Yes.
Do you crave oxygen regularly?
Okay, here's more dejected. We were talking about things the other night. We were talking about depression in general.
Yeah.
And how it is for SADAG.
A jolly subject.
And they said for Nelson Mandela thing, you go and you work at SADAG for the day. You can answer the phones if you want to.
Oh, wow.
But if it gets a bit hectic, you can give it to a therapist. Because a lot of people aren't phoning in to say, listen, I'm going to kill myself now. Yeah. Then you hand the phone
over.
Yeah,
you have to.
But sorry, I'm going to put you through to my manager.
No, but she said if someone's going to
my supervisor.
Please hold.
Nothing on the script. She's going to put you through to the supervisor. That's funny.
There was a thing, I remember Stephen Wright did it. It was a scene, just a cutaway scene in a movie where the guy answers the phone and says, hi, is this a suicide hotline? Says, yes, sir, sorry, what was that? He says, I can't do this. I think I'm going to kill myself. And the whole joke is that he can't hear the dude on the other end of the line. He's going, sir, you got to speak up. Boom! He goes, oh, we were cut off. Like, holy God, that's nasty.
But anyway, you work at SADAG for the day.
Yes.
And you're allowed to talk to the people. She said, if someone's phoning in, they're not going to do it. She said, don't worry, because it's a last.
That's a
if they're going to do it, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
So she said, don't worry. And also, as a comedian, just tell them that we're here working for this thing, and thanks for phoning. I really appreciate that you phoned in. And then don't try and be funny or whatever, but just tell them who you are so they might recognize you. And then she says, it just gives them like a, oh, okay, it's a human. It's another person.
Because
it is a desperate a last ditch attempt at,
so
at
if
life.
You go, thank you for calling sad.
Yeah, you can take
I'm
the piss if you want to.
When they let the automated voice system take over the suicide hotline. Oh, if you're really, really sad,
please.
Press 1.
Yeah, please
if
don't.
You're unbelievably sad,
please
press
don't
two.
Kill yourself.
If you're
you
obsessive
have
compulsive,
so much to
press,
live for.
Press 6 25 times.
Someone.
Yes. OCD. If you're paranoid, we'll track you down.
Yeah, we know who you are and what you want.
Stupid. So now, anyway, we were talking about that, and then my other depressing comedy thing was just watching young comics do well on stuff that you kind of, for me, it would be the first layer of the joke.
Yeah, it's frivolous.
Does
stuff
that make
that
sense?
You throw away. Yeah.
No, but like the first layer of the joke is
they don't develop.
They're doing the first layer, and you're like, damn it, there's so much more stuff.
And doesn't that come with experience?
I was going to say,
it
don't you?
It might come with experience, but then they're not, because they got the fame, they never dig down deep, because they're going, hey, I'm getting, I'm up.
Isn't it like advisable then to tell them, look, that's the first layer of the joke, why don't you think of doing this? Or are you like...
I'm out of the advice section, because I gave advice once and I got called something.
Wow.
Advicey Dave.
Yeah, it was really
terrible insult.
But at that point, when that person then screws up, and when they come off stage, you go... Advicey Dave says maybe you should consider doing something else.
No, but I do. You know what? I like to watch a young comic do well because it's about the industry. I mean, that was a lot of the things that came out of. We had comedy conference.
Yeah, we had the comedy
con.
That was cool.
Just watching a young comic also didn't make me depressed. Maybe dejected, a little bit more jaded than I thought I was. Mm. And then I watched something called the Generation Next Awards. Generation Next, where they troll the youth. And they look at them and they say, what do you guys like? What do you guys not like? And they are the next, they are the ones making apps and they're going to help the world.
Sure, they
must just pay one bond payment. The fuckers. Yeah.
Just pay your tax once.
Just fill out an IRP-5.
Get stopped
IRP
at the traffic,
get stopped
by traffic police and then go to court and just get a summons. Just wake up.
do me stop nonsense. Got arrested for speeding yesterday. I saw it on WSB.
Oh, wow.
It's probably still up, actually.
For speeding?
Yeah.
Was he wearing his clothes?
He was in a holding cell with his cell phone. It was the funniest shit ever.
Does he not know how the economics of the Metro Police work?
Nope.
Do me stop nonsense.
Because I mean, let's face it.
Why does that name sound familiar to me?
It's Jumaya from last week.
At this point, let's face it. The Metro Police should have already listed on the JSC. They are one of the most traded things in the country.
Nah, he took it. I think he took it down.
Damn it!
Tabiso showed me last night. It was funny. Oh man, I laughed. I was like, this is. Oh no, wait. Yeah, I know he took it down.
Considering what a stop nonsense is, I always want to call Tumi. Is it what? 12,000 rand fine, no more speed for me. Well, more car either.
That would
what
ruin
is a stop
my
nonsense?
Day.
Is it a thing?
is the township name for Precon Wall.
Yes.
Yes, a stop nonsense.
But
so to
me,
Precon
you tell
Wall
me.
Doesn't work.
I could have used that in the roast battle.
Oh, okay.
So is it a
prefabricated
wall? Is it concrete walls?
Those prefab walls.
Damn it.
Walls.
He was wearing a wig, man. You couldn't have said that about him in any case.
I couldn't see the white patch. What? All the jokes about the white
up,
patch.
He dressed up as Jumaya.
He dressed up as Jumaya.
Jumaya, whatever.
He dressed up in his character to be roasted.
You remember when it was somebody would dress up as a woman, a guy would dress up as a woman and go, oh, it's funny, it's just in drag. Not anymore. Right. Now it's, what is your gender that you're trying to put forward?
Really?
There's
paperwork now. There's paperwork.
Oh, yeah. There's a complaint department now. It used to be just a drag show. No.
Okay, so I'm going to just see how cool you all are. You got to name some stuff. Okay, coolest. Mm-hmm. All right, these are the categories. Coolest, local, male, celeb. Just name me. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. Just name me 2 or 3.
Coolest local, male celeb. Oh, wow.
What's that guy's name that does the...
Just say the first name that comes to your head.
Dave Levinson.
Well,
hey,
if you're going with...
GQ.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going with
TV,
things that people would know, it would be Donovan Goliath.
Yeah, Donovan Goliath.
Ebenezer.
No, these are celebs, eh?
No, celebs.
Proper singers, dancers, go.
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, presenter, Sandile GQ from MTV. Okay, not him.
You're thinking about a great comedian that left the country to become famous?
Saint Noah.
Go, more. I want more.
Yo, this is
it's all obvious stuff. AKA Casper Nyovis, Quest, and
celebrities or just people.
Yeah.
That
so that's
talk.
The list.
You could have been like hint rappers.
No, but that's those are what they consider to be male celebs. It's okay, all rappers. Cool. So AKA Casper Nyovis. So that just shows you what the culture's at.
Okay,
On telephones watching rap music.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not that you don't have to be a brain surgeon to work out what young kids are doing. They're listening to rap. Mm.
Yeah,
which is what we listened to when we were kids as well.
Trap
nothing's
music.
Changed. Yeah, so what I don't like is they think they're special. because we're the next generation. No, you're doing the same shit we did. It's just a different thing.
Yeah, it's the delivery. The delivery system is different. I mean, it went from vinyl to tapes to
ours was from the tuck shop.
Instead of trap, it could be crap.
Yes, that's country and rap.
Cell phone rap.
Yeah, mixtape. There's no different. Okay, here we go. Coolest local female celeb.
Benang. No one.
Not Bonang. Oh my word.
You've been thinking about that since male celebs came up. I said, like, wait, female. Yeah. Bonang. Boiti Tulo. Mini Dlamini.
Mini Dlamini, yes. Go.
Okay, cool.
Ding. It's not Lerato Kanyako. She's
okay, it's named after a necklace that you give someone.
Bill Tusi. Well, that's the connection she wanted, maybe.
Wow.
Says, can I have a pearl toothie? What's that? Well, it's like a pearl necklace, except it's
earrings.
When her parents decided on the name, they're like, you know, it'd be funny.
Okay, no, we're getting to trouble, but I love it. So, Babes Wadumo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Babes, yeah. From Queens.
Lady Zamar. Two songs in Nice, famous. And then Amanda Black.
Amanda Black, yeah, I could see that.
Because you're involved in this, because this is you.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's names I've heard before, but I try not to think about too much.
Do you just write and go
home? That's the thing. When I write the news for Il Gobboza,
I have to
rewrite anything I write about AKA. I have to redo at least 5 times.
Why? Because he phones in.
No, because just the amount of anger that it brings out of me.
Really?
It just he gets
anger in you.
Oh yeah.
Why? Let's unpack that a little bit.
Son of a girl. I mean, it was the really obvious one. His name's Kenan Forbes. Do you get him a white
Kenan,
name?
Yeah, no. Kenan Forbes, yeah.
You do. Ryan Holiday.
Yeah, James Holiday? Excuse me. James Holiday.
Ryan James Holiday.
I spelled your name with one L, and I apologize. Because when you go on holiday, it's only with one L.
Yeah.
What annoys me
this
is...
this holiday, baby.
Two L's.
You know what I mean?
What annoys me is that I admire the talent. It's all the mouthing off stage that I can't stand. Is this the beef between him and Casper Nieves? That's biltong at this point. That's beef that's been going on way too long. So yeah, I mean, it's AKA, I get.
All right, so let's go to the next one.
Anybody calls himself Super Mega.
Yeah, the Super Mega.
Super Mega, what? Mega. There is a noun missing.
What is it?
Puss. Yeah, Super. Yeah.
Well, puss a noun. I mean, it was fun doing the podcast before he started listening to it.
No, but literally it.
Oh, it's a noun.
Actual cavity.
It's a doing word.
Yes.
Of pleasure.
You can do
and other bodily
the
functions.
The pleasure cavity.
Coolest local.
Coolest local.
Okay, so that's his new name now. Super what? Mega Pleasure Cavity.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, let's ask
I'm going to start calling
that.
Myself that. I saw he walked across the road in tight skinny jeans.
Yes.
And the caption was, the best rapper in the world.
Did you?
The world's greatest rapper.
Did you see the thread? Ah, the thread was the funniest shit ever. They're like, not even the greatest in South Africa. Then someone went, South Africa, ? Not the greatest in his province.
Yo.
Then someone went, province, ? Not even the best in his ethnicity.
In his neighborhood.
Then another person went, ethnicity, ? Not even the best rapper in his family.
Yo.
The thread, you know, at least he created a thread.
And this is what the problem is. Like they're happy to have the thread.
Yeah, regardless of the stuff that comes out of it. Yeah.
So that's this generation. Like people said, you must check the shit they said about me. Like, yeah, they don't like you. I don't care. I got 17 likes.
Are
we going to do some video?
I'm going to find it.
I'm going to do one for Insta. Yeah.
Well, but what do we say? Because otherwise it's just going to go on
Insta. No, it's fine. Like, let it carry on.
So now I've started calling myself the greatest comedian. Ever in the history of the world, ever on all the planets in all
because,
the universes.
Yeah, the amount of controversy you'll generate is controversy.
A lot of people. Someone did agree and said, "Yeah, you are actually." It was my mom.
Okay, well that helps.
It was my mom.
It's nice to know your mom actually pays attention. My mom's comment on my career was quite fun. I showed her.
Are you a Jehovah's Witness?
Yes. Well, no, she knows that I'm a lax Catholic.
We all now speak like Vittorio's mom from Milan.
Vittorio's mom, man.
But this is the thing. My mom watched footage of me doing stand-up and of interviews I'd done, and she didn't say a word, didn't crack a smile the whole way. And then she goes, I like this one the most because you can't see how fat you are.
Oh my God, that's such a mom
but
thing.
But she is making your food all your life. She caused this.
Yes, you make the pasta.
Yes. Well, no, she absolved herself of any guilt once I left home. She says, I can't control
now
you
got fat on your own.
You're fat on your own.
You got to make...
I gave you starter pack. You lent them to get further.
However, when we
She's
go visit, we're going over.
But you're not actually fat. Your frame is big.
Oh, is that what we're calling it?
So you know, I've seen rounder comedians. Clinton Dunn is fat. He's not. You are a well built, slightly overweight gentleman.
Reggie Watts is fat.
Yeah.
Reggie Watts.
And I've
fat.
Seen
Victoria's
you.
Just
and I've seen you naked, huge. Victoria. I've seen you naked.
Wait,
not fully.
Naked.
Yeah, I've seen you half naked. So I've seen. I've seen up till about three quarters of your crack.
Okay.
And then the naked torso.
Okay.
Your abdomen.
And this was when I was still a lot thinner.
Oh, shit. Things have changed.
So I'm saying I've seen enough.
Ryan,
to
is
cause
he cheating on you?
Sleepless nights.
No, I'm not happy, but we'll talk about it.
Well, we'll talk about it in the break.
I haven't seen you naked, Ryan. Can we sort that out?
Let's face
turn
it.
Turn the aircon off now because it's quite cool.
Is it?
Ryan
looks, start warming it up.
Ryan will probably look good naked, I'm guessing.
Have you ever done anything physical stuff? Have you said, let me give it a go? For
what,
a week or just, two or a month or
what exercise or
whatever. Yeah.
The last time I did the dance with exercise was about 3 years ago. I was diagnosed with insulin resistance. So
a little bit before diabetes.
Oh yeah, it's that thing of just shy of diabetes.
Oh.
Where you just before you die of the diabetes. And it was a case of for 2 months I went on this ridiculously strict diet. It was like 1,600 calories.
Megabytes, megawatts.
1,600 calories a day, and I had to walk 30 minutes.
I mean, that's low for someone your size.
Oh yeah,
yes, you must.
But
have
that was the
is
thing.
That a, no, but now we've got a nutritionist. Yeah, is that a lot of calories?
No, that's nothing, especially
that's
for
nothing.
A big dude like
what
that.
What is 1,000 calories? Like a piece of lettuce.
No, I don't know exactly. Well, he can tell us. What did you eat?
It was damn near nothing.
A day,
it was the thing of like, let's say you get potato, you're allowed half a potato or a wedge, and that's lunch with like a piece of meat smaller than half of my hand.
And then any vegetable, any kind of
well, there's like
calories
certain stuff you can chow this, but it's like you're going, really?
But I mean,
so has,
and also looks like he's got one leg.
I'll go back to the thing.
But hang on, so we're talking about this. So you had your health scare.
The space of 2 months, I think I lost 20 kilos, which apparently only heroin is faster.
It's
exaggerating a bit.
But that's the thing. No, dead serious.
You lost 20 kilograms.
Went from 145 to 125. And then I naturally gained it all back and then some because no human being eats that way.
Yeah.
And I'm back to having insulin resistance again. So I've now got to start exercising
but,
again.
I mean,
but
mentally,
you need a buddy,
must have
man.
Been.
You can't do it by yourself.
I was hilarious to be around, apparently.
What, when you were...
Your
when
mind
you were,
must have been fucked on that few, those few calories.
It's that thing of... It's weird. After the first 2 weeks, that constant headache goes away.
Yeah.
That thing of, oh, I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. Please kill me. I'm so hungry.
But you do. You become almost like a vegan, but because all you can talk about is that. So someone will say something about, hey, it's a really nice day. Yo, I haven't eaten.
But that was. But that's the. But that's okay. The thing, though. I mean,
my mom died. I just need food.
Yeah,
can I come to the funeral?
When's the funeral?
That's
I want
where
to
I
eat
sit
after
going,
that when
okay,
he's on
like,
the suicide hotline.
Like, okay, I had breakfast. I know that in 3 hours I'm allowed to have an apple. And then in another 3 hours...
But you look
hours,
forward to the apple.
Oh, geez, you get violent if you miss the apple.
You ate the stick, even the
stem.
I like that very technical term. In biology, what part of the apple is this?
The stick.
That's the stalk, the little thing at the top. Did you just use it as a toothpick?
That's a toothpick because you want to scrape any possible food loose from your teeth.
And the
going,
pips... Did you often scrape teeth like stuff from your teeth from 2 weeks ago?
Apple.
And you're like, I remember eating that.
It's how I got into the habit of, okay, I can eat absolutely everything on
eat
this apple.
Pips.
Not eat the core? Are you drunk?
That's the best part.
Okay, so now
tell us.
A part. We're going to now read, because this is a part of the thing. Like, to say that you're the greatest is
okay.
Part of this whole culture of the younger
so
thing. Just say it and then fake it till you make it.
Yeah,
but rappers also.
So it says, he captioned it the best rapper in the world. First reply was in South Africa, not the world. Then someone went in the Western Cape, not South Africa. Then someone went. Not the Western Cape, in the colored community. Then someone went, not in the colored community, in his family. Then someone else went, not in his family, in his bedroom.
Yo!
Like people just don't care about...
But now you can't delete these tweets, hey? These
you
are from people.
You can delete them, but it's going to take so long because, it's...
But then he's not deleting them then.
Yeah, he hasn't
deleted. Who took the photo?
I found them. It's probably his publicist, man. The dude, like...
Is it in South Africa? Where's it taken? It looks like it's in London.
Stand dope, baby.
Doesn't look like it's in... You can't see any number plates.
Yeah, you can't. You are 100. That's what I was looking for. I was going to say it's in Cape Town somewhere.
But there's no potholes. It's a real road.
Yeah, he was somewhere.
Because I wanted to... I don't have any friends. I wanted someone to take a picture of me walking the same way in the skinny jeans like that. Like,
you need to get skinny jeans first.
Not the funniest comedian.
I just get normal jeans and the skinny kind of happens. That look.
The look happens automatically.
But you know what's cool? You own it.
Yeah.
You don't come out there and go, but why are they saying these things about me?
I got to the stage where there's that thing of if somebody's saying good or bad things about you, even if they're saying bad things, it's still good publicity. Oh. It's going, yeah, you've never really been on the business end of that stuff when it gets vicious.
Yeah.
Where would you be a what do you call it, like a proponent of bullying at school and get involved in these anti-campaigns?
I'm already violently anti-bullying. I'm ever in a bad mood, I go onto YouTube and I watch videos of bullies getting owned. And my favorite one still is that little kid who clearly didn't have a concept of physics.
Yeah.
He picks on a kid who's like a foot and a half bigger than him and a foot wider than him.
Yeah. He bullied the kid.
Eventually, the kid picks him, this big dude picks him up and power slams him into the cement sidewalk and walks. I'm going, don't see the problem
The
here.
Kid that gets the slammed, you shouldn't, kid. You shouldn't like hits the pavement. So he gets up and then he like has to hobble away because
Would you go to schools and talk? Were you bullied at school?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think it's not as much as I could have been. I mean, I was a big kid, but it's not a violent kid.
And the thing, it's a soft target. They can get you because you absorb it. You're like,
I think the worst that I ever got was in the one incident I do remember was one kid. He had a tree branch or something. Jeez. And he was freaking...
This is Bloemfontein, eh?
No, this is Welkom, much worse. The fact that he found a tree branch in a semi-desert town, I mean, dude, that tree was doing its best. And he was just busy prodding me with the thing, and eventually I took it out of his hand and I hit him with it. And it's just, you know, there are so many things I would like to change, but I think there'd be a lot more filled coffins if I had.
Okay,
if
you'd go back on a blood rampage.
If I would have fought back during that time, it's, I don't know how much damage I could have caused. I mean, if I'd known how to fight, if I'd gone into a blind rage or something like that. I've never been in a fight that I won. I mean, and that includes
my stint.
Yeah, and that includes my stint on the roast battle. I didn't win squat.
No, you did. You got fried. You got halaled.
Yeah, I got halaled by Yassin.
Yeah.
Yes, we now celebrate a special holiday called Kaboom.
But now listen, the bullying thing I want to get involved in because Rob Fear and I were talking about it, and it's, you're a big guy, and like even that video there was a chirpy kid chirping, and you can see the big guy, obviously he may be a little bit slower than the other kids.
Yeah, he's quiet.
He's quiet and he's like, please, and he holds his hands up like the same, please don't hassle me, I just want to go.
Yeah.
And he's been, the other kids upset, because the only fight I ever was in was also a little guy coming to the bar saying, oh, you're buying drinks for chicks, hey? I'm like, no, I'm not, I'm just standing here, be cool. They send the little guy in, and then they're just waiting for the thing to start. And I watched this, and I was like, oh, okay, I can see what's going on here.
No, it's, I mean, probably one of my favorite ones is people who try to do pranks, and then I'm sitting there going, dude, I don't know if it's this rule in America, but all the pranks that I've seen go wrong is chippy little white guys, and they start shit with shirtless black men in the street. Yeah. Are you fucking stupid?
I've seen that one with the guy with the money falling out. He's like, oh, is that your money? No, it's mine. That's my money.
And they just... He tries to snatch a bicycle from some random black dude standing on the side of the road. This dude beats the crap out of him. And what I love is then they try to play the victim. I'm like, no, dude.
You tried to commit.
It's just a prank.
The dude who tried to, he just does some rather prank of purse snatching. No, Leon, that's called theft.
Leon,
and he's doing it in front of a sheriff's department guy. He says, well, no, it's called theft. Yeah. And you're now
Thanks
under arrest.
And it's also been filmed. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for the evidence.
Easiest case
like
ever.
Like those guys on the motorbikes that film their speedometer. And they get off the motorbike and give like a safe sign like this with the number plate there.
Yeah.
I just went 380. So Leon Schuster's got a new movie coming out.
Oh, dear God.
Again. Actually, who had
That's what it's called.
Just
again, too.
So how is this
about
still a thing?
He's going into Africa and they're making a movie or something about something. Then they end up getting hired by these guys and then they're rhino poachers. So it's about rhino poaching and how real it is. So it's actually a little bit of a
Okay, so is this going to be a serious form or is somebody
going
to fall
serious,
in poo?
But someone's going to fall in poo.
Somebody's going to fall in poo. I mean, let's face it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the things are happening. Like, there's comedy out there and that movie's going to kick whatever you've come up with at Real Gaborza. That random movie's going to kick its ass.
Yeah,
but have you come across Leon Schuster before? Is he a cool dude?
Very shy, very introvert.
Yeah.
Doesn't dig people, man.
No, that's the thing. I mean, I think if he interacts with people, he likes it to be on his own terms, hence the pranking stuff.
Okay.
I mean, the earliest story I heard of him was as a guy, one of the producers at Urban Brew told me a story in the early days of television when Rian Kreyvogen had just started being a news anchor. Leon was working at the SABC. He thought it would be hilarious to hide under Rian Kraaivalkens desk and essentially started feeling him up under the table. This is true when TV was still live. This is a new live news broadcast.
Isn't that fantastic? That's the Leon Schuster that I like.
Yeah.
Just doing the thing.
And then afterwards, I mean, both of them nearly got fired because, I don't know, maybe they just thought Rian was in on it. But I was sitting there going, dude, it's Rian Kraaivalkens. Leave the man alone.
But also big up for him for doing that because that's what's missing. Yeah. You know, often you see Pat Simcox, the cricketer, and he used to do those kinds of things. And now it's sort of frowned upon in sport.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, those are the characters that we need. We need someone at the SABC to be hired to fillet someone while they're doing the news.
But not even
I would insist on a blowjob. And tonight's the news and then... where's my guy?
Where's my guy?
How am I supposed to read the news?
How am I supposed to read the news? I'm ready.
I would love to see in any of the news broadcasts. Where's
Eric's
my woman?
Eric's not with us.
No, I'm with you. I'm
getting filleted under my desk
I'm listening
here. I'm pointing at Eric going, where's my guy? And I'm ready. I've got my cock out and everything.
I'm doing research. I'm finding you a new guy. Do you mind?
How's that job interview going?
Well, I like long walks by the beach.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Still
under
sucking
the table.
On my
now, here's we got 5 minutes left. Do you have any? You've listened to a few of the podcasts,
yes.
So you'll put it on at home, earphones, whatever you listen to. So we're taking you as being our fucking listener.
Cool.
Okay, just the one. Stuff we say is for you. So what do you? Okay, here we go. So, Renegade Report. That's not us. I always listen to you guys, not always live, but I love your show, Bianca.
Hi, Bianca.
Hey,
Bianca.
Woo, we got a new listener. Hey, Bianca.
But now you listen to this. So what I want from you, I don't want crit.
And
I want
mix
what
it.
Do you? What do you see? We should put in. Because we do talk shit. We get out of hand, yeah. It's not real. It's not normal. So what should we do and what shouldn't we do?
That's
by Vittorio Leonardi.
It's when it comes to podcasts, it's the thing of each episode, have it have a structure, have it have a theme. And the theme was, to a degree,
the youth.
Youngnesses coming up, and it's, you know, June 16th is tomorrow, and...
Is it tomorrow?
It
says so on the date board.
And one of the questions I always had about that is that, okay, would the current generation of kids do what happened in the Soweto riots? Would they be willing to take a bullet for a cause?
No, they'd have
and
an app.
And let's
freaking
face it,
they
wouldn't. Yeah, I've got an app here called Bullet Wound. It looks just like the thing.
If you're going to shoot me on my cell phone.
No, if you're going to shoot me, make sure someone's filming. I got to go viral.
Can I have a vest,
so you,
please?
You would ask that question, okay?
I have asked that question before. So, the thing of... it's every generation looks at the one that's coming up going, these kids have no idea what they're doing. Okay. My thing is that the current generation doesn't really have a war to fight for. That's why I think Trump was so, not so good, but instrumental for American teens, that they have an enemy to fight again. And that's what America needs. They always need an enemy to fight.
Internally.
Otherwise they get too introspective. Yeah. That's why terrorism is never going away.
We must have a theme for the show.
Have a central subject.
A central little
and then
hook.
The fact that these conversations happen and it's people's own experiences, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm. I mean, it helps that when a guest can thrive.
What must we do with Ryan?
Keep him on, definitely.
Ryan is the voice of sanity because he's that one. He's the step outside of the weirdness circle that we dance around in.
Yes.
Because you're still coming up in comedy, so you haven't been infected by... what eventually happens to most
Eric.
Comedians.
Yeah,
yeah, Ryan, remember before the show you said you don't like Vittorio. Now all of a sudden you're a big fan.
No, he's not a big fan.
I mean, it's because I didn't go under the table.
his
trousers are very well secured.
You know what's nice is I said if someone is under the table,
yes.
I never want to know who it is because you never meet your heroes.
That's honestly, funny enough.
If it's a good, what's the word?
Vacuum?
Good
suction.
Good style.
Suction.
Right?
Suction.
Good
technique.
Good
suction. Jehovah's Witness.
Why is it Vittorio's mom?
This is no, guys.
No.
Come on, man.
No. Stop the clock.
It's
been a while since my mom's been featured.
No, what I'm saying is, what you don't want to look down and see who it is. You're like, that's good technique. I'm okay with whoever it was who drew this straw. Who have you got under yours?
Many things.
Many things, not even.
Oh no,
even
I like abstract stuff. I watch way too much anime. I read two biographies. One by George Carlin about himself, and the one his daughter wrote about her experience of growing up with George. And wow, you don't ever. No, it's not just contrast that you're going. You don't want to know that your heroes are human, because yes, George was a dick. Him and his wife.
So we only saw, we got to see the guy on the stage doing this smart, clever comedy.
There was one incident.
And it was just a chop at home.
His daughter Kelly was, I think, was maybe 10 or 11 years old at the time. The George and his wife Brenda, the two of them were hectically into drugs to the point where they were always fighting. And so eventually
fighting over the drugs.
Well, just about
drug use
or like one's was alcohol, the other one was cocaine. And so the daughter Kelly eventually said, "This is, we're on holiday. I would prefer that I want this to stop. I want the fighting to stop now." And she drew up like a Geneva Accord, like peace treaty, and got them to both sign it and say, "Look, I'm the only sober one in the room. This has to stop." And apparently the truce lasted for half an hour.
That's okay.
Because George went into the bathroom. His wife accused him of going into the bathroom to do cocaine. So she went off to the bar to get wasted.
Let me tell you, he actually was having a dump.
No, he was having cocaine.
Well, it says it got to the point. The reason why she drew up the treaty is because they had drawn knives and they were going at each other with knives. And he was like, so
it is true. You don't meet your heroes.
You don't want to know.
I hope my kid never writes a book about stuff that I do.
It's
the dad's weekend.
But then on the other hand,
a weekend at dad's, a story by Jude.
But then on the other hand, I mean, I like the way Jeff Foxworthy puts it. He says, I'm getting rather sick of some kid grows up, goes on a talk show and blames everything that happened to him on his parents.
Guess what? He also had some choice.
It's the thing of just once. Is it, hey, my mommy was great, my daddy was great, I'm just a shithead.
Speaking about that,
yeah,
coolest local DJs.
DJ Fresh
is probably the one that everybody really digs.
No.
Damn it, DJ.
I'll give you a clue.
No, don't do that. That's Black Coffee.
Black Coffee.
I'll give you another one.
That's what I said. DJ Tira.
DJ Tira.
You know DJ Tira?
Yeah.
Apparently, there's rumors flying about that he's at the center of the whole thing between Mampincha and Babes Wodumo. Yeah, because apparently the conspiracy theory.
You've got the attention of one man outside. Well, he's like staring at the radio.
The conspiracy theory that's floating around is that apparently Tira originally was one of the people that said he was the one who brought Babes Wodumo, and then she hooked up with Mampincha, and there was all that stuff.
Then.
So the story breaking that Mampincha was apparently abusing Babes Wodumo, the reason that story broke is because he's trying to get rid of Mampincha so he can get Babes Wodumo back on his label. Now, how true that is, I don't know, but I think
it's a brilliant conspiracy
theory. I want
someone to fight over me like that. I want someone to fight over me. Like, I want two agents to go, we want Dave. We want Ryan. So, now, hang on. So, we got some tips from you. A nice theme. Keep it wild and crazy.
A theme and just...
What do you think about guests? Because sometimes we had eight people in here one day. It was fucking mad.
It's that thing of if the guest fits with the theme, great. Or if they can offer an opinion fantastic.
Because we do get emails from people going, hi, I'm up and coming. I'm in this industry. Not comedy. These are people that are presenters with them. They want to be on the show. I'm like, are you sure you want to be on the show?
Yeah, but that's the thing. That if they're on the show, they've got to have listened to the show, know what the dynamic is, and they have to bring their
A-game. Have a guy say, what questions are you going to ask my guest?
No.
We're not. Whatever comes up.
Right,
we're gonna say one more shout out here.
Who mailed us in the WhatsApp lines?
I always listen to you guys, Bianca. She just sent another message.
That's awesome.
Ah, we love her.
Okay. Thank you for being a listener.
Thank you, Bianca, and we expect the payment next to the dumpster as always.
Okay, so who else was? These are DJ Zintle.
Zintle, yeah.
Prince KB.
Yeah, I know him.
Okay, coolest local screen stars. This is the youth.
That'll be your actors from like generations.
Leon Schuster.
What?
Wow. No.
The youth.
Did they say coolest young? No! Get out!
Nomzamo Mbata.
I know Nomzamo.
Piltusi.
Piltusi, yeah. She's done the most international.
Somizi Mkhlongo?
Somizi, I think he's fun to watch, but people give him a lot of flack for the radio stuff.
Yeah.
Is his radio show, is he quite outspoken?
It's not that he's just outspoken, it's that a lot of people didn't like the dynamic that was between him and his co-host. I forget her name.
Okay,
and then on radio. He's got a radio show.
Get her on, we need to finish.
Then Trevor Noah. Yes. Local TV soap operas.
Yeah,
these are young kids.
Generation.
Who the fuck do they care? So Seven Dallon, Empire.
Yeah, which isn't local.
Isibaya,
yeah.
The Queen?
Yeah, the Queen. I've heard of the Queen, yeah.
Uzalo.
It just sounds like a dramatic name, doesn't it? Yeah. Uzalo.
And then did you catch tonight's episode of Uzalo?
So, nah, I got a cream. It went to
I had that Uzalo you're speaking of.
Victoria Leonardo, thanks for coming through, man.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for reminding me that I said you can come through. I'm coming to the show. I'm like, Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Will you tell people that to come on the show if you see them?
Hell yes.
Because I want comedians to know that this is a safe space.
That was me last night to the corporate. I woke up and then Kate was like, call time is 7:15. I'm like, 4.
This guy says to me, I'll see you at Goliath. I'm like, no, I'm at Parker's.
Yeah.
He says, no, Dave, you're at Goliath. I'm like, shit. I don't know what to do. Anyway, say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people. It's been a pleasure.
Goodbye, everyone. I'm Ryan.
Goodbye. My name's Dave Levinson. This has been the Just Now Comedy Podcast.
My name is Eric Janssen. Happy June 16th tomorrow. And add me on Mixit. Rekha Park's finest.
See you at Capital Craft. Beer Festival.
Love you. Bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.